Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All throughout Lent, every day, there's a proper Mass for the day. And every day is meant to be there to teach us things. I think one of the most important things that we can do throughout the Lenten season is perhaps simply reading the text of each day's Lenten Mass, each day's lesson to be meditated upon, thought about, to gather fruits from. And now we see ourselves here, just the first day of Lent, and in first Sunday of Lent, rather, and we have a great basket of fruitfulness for ourselves to gather from the text of the Mass. You see, the very first Sunday of Lent is meant to really set the tone for ourselves. How are we going to go about these 40 days in order that we may gain the most from our efforts? St. Paul tells us in the epistle today that it is primarily by seizing these opportunities, by recognizing that the certain times we are called to certain types of actions, that at certain times it is our duty to sanctify ourselves. Now is that time, as he says, that we are called literally to spiritual growth during Lent. We are called to do more than we do during the rest of the year. We're called to make reparation for our past sins. We're called to strengthen ourselves against future temptations. We're called to do good for our world and for the intentions of our church. And we are called to practice virtue more successfully, more perfectly. And in general, we are meant to make progress in our spiritual life during Lent. We know that this is our time of grace because the church gives it to us as such. It sets aside Lent and gives us a time where it forces us to sacrifice. The church is our mother and recognizes our own human frailty, our weakness. If it just says in a general way that you need to sacrifice to save your souls, which is true, by the way. If it just told us, in order to get to heaven, you must perform sacrifices, you must do penance, we would say, yes, yes, that's well and good, and then most of us would forget about it. However, it sets aside time and says, now you must do sacrifice. If you want to not sin, you have to fast. If you want to not sin, you have to perform certain bits of abstinence on Ash Wednesday, for instance, or these upcoming Ember Days, and refrain from these things. It tells us that here are some basic essentials, simply not to sin, in hopes that we realize that this bare minimum, this idea of simply fasting or abstinence or whatever it may be, that those things are just the starting point. And realize that therein lies the spirit of the season and the fruits to be gained. That if we keep building off of that and saying that I want to be one to be generous in sacrificing and to go beyond simply what is necessary, but to do what I can do to help sanctify myself, then I seize that special time of grace and I cooperate with it. Our Lord, he teaches us in today's gospel exactly how we can best achieve this end, that spiritual growth, that sanctification of ourselves. It's with that realization of our own faults. Now, of course, Christ himself has no faults. Of course, he has no weaknesses. But we do. We are imperfect. We have fallen human nature. And we know that every single one of us has primary faults, areas where we are most inclined to sin. It's not the same as the person necessarily sitting next to us, but it is real and specific to myself. And so I need to see those areas and realize that's where my building needs the most shoring up. That's where my soul needs the most strengthening. And so that is where I need to focus my attention. Christ shows us that by example in the desert. Again, leaving aside that he does not have weakness, but he shows us how to attack areas of weakness. The first point he shows is the weakness of the flesh. By our own self-indulgence is our flesh weak. And it encompasses so much. Lust, gluttony, sloth. Those are just starting points of primary areas of fault given in with the flesh. And our Lord strengthens this area. How? By mortifying it. He takes that time, those 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasts. He abstains from something that is truly legitimate in the way of food, nourishing, life-giving, something that we take for granted each day that we just go about usually doing. We eat. Christ doesn't. It's not something that is natural. It is a supernatural action. If you put a bowl of food before a dog who is hungry, he is going to eat it. But because we have the higher faculties, the use of our will, we can choose to do the harder thing, the supernatural thing, the fast, to forgo that hunger by being satiated and saying, no, I will sacrifice here. I will reign in my flesh. I will reign in my lower passions so that I may be stronger in the long run. The fast prescribed to us is a very simple one. It's given to us that we have two small meals that do not add up to equal our main meal of the day, and meat only being taken as the primary meal, of course. But we should be generous in that. We should look at that as a starting point, but really, what else can we build off of it on? From there comes that idea of sacrificing other aspects of our daily life, giving up something in addition to that. Perhaps I'm going to give up sugar in my coffee. Perhaps I'm going to give up any kind of sweets. Perhaps I'm going to give up bread or whatever it may be. Forgoing something else is building upon that. Yes, I'm fasting, but I'm also sacrificing this in addition to that. Yes, I'm fasting, but perhaps I'm going to be very specific in the food choices so that they are not the most pleasant for me. Perhaps I'm going to be focused on even keeping what is allowed to its minimum. Whatever it may be, that mortifying of the flesh, that fasting, if we take what is prescribed, we build off of it into our Lenten sacrifices. And in doing so, we attack the weakness of our flesh. Then our Lord goes another step further. And he says, it's not just merely the flesh that is weak, but it is also areas of our own will itself. Perhaps we recognize in ourselves the pride that exists there. Well, our Lord alludes to this and attacks this in the gospel as well. This pride, this self-reliance, this self-importance, this thinking we can do more than we actually can. He illustrates to us that it is by prayer that success comes, that our souls are strengthened. It is from God that we must, it is upon God we must rely. He is in the desert. He is there making the way as a retreat, praying, fasting. And when the devil tempts him in the way of satiating his flesh, our Lord tells him that it is by the things of God that he is strengthened, not by merely bread. Not by bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. every answer to the prayer uttered by ourselves. His grace, his strength, and fortitude given. And that is really what strengthens the man. That is really is what represents our pathway of success. We don't gain those graces unless we pray for them. And we rely upon the source of grace itself. The third weakness, which is attacked by our Lord, the weakness of man that is illustrated, is the attachment to the worldly goods. We have attachment to our flesh, attachment to ourself, and attachment to the world. Christ points that out so clearly. Greed and avarice are the folly of man. And it's alluded to in the third temptation, the promise, the entire kingdom of the world by the devil. All of this may be yours. Simple action that you just bow down and adore me. You can have everything you ask for in this life. Just do that one thing. Of course, we know our Lord's response. It's unhesitating. And he casts aside any thoughts of those temporal gains. Need not concern him at all, but merely ridding himself of the wicked one. We need to cast aside those concerns and those reliances upon those earthly cares ourselves. But we don't have that same simple omnipotent strength of God to pass them off without a blink. But rather, what is alluded to is our need to be generous in our earthly possessions. Almsgiving, charity, masses, whatever it may be that allows us to practice detachment, to know that these things, they are fleeting, and they are only made to support us, not to possess us. When we realize that they are merely tools to sustenance, then we can be truly generous and truly detached and only really focus on our spiritual well-being. This is the day of salvation. Our time of grace, our time of growth, the holy season of Lent. It is holy in general unto itself, but it's holy for you only if you make it so. So don't let us pass the season simply by doing the minimum, what we must. But rather let us adopt that generous spirit of sacrifice to God. Be generous to him. Follow more than simply the rules, but give of your own self. Search after practicing the sacrifices that you know are going to strengthen your own self. Look upon yourself. Be honest with yourself. Where do my faults lie? Where do I struggle the most? What can I do that is going to be a sacrifice that is going to be most beneficial for me? Oftentimes, it's in that thing that we first think of and then push aside because we think, oh, I don't want to do that. That's going to be hard. No, revisit that thought, because that instinct is probably pointing you at where you can gain the most fruit by giving something you really don't want to, but you know that you really should in order to have a true sacrifice to God. It will be different between you and your neighbor. Don't worry about that. Some will be able to sacrifice more and some less according to their strength. Don't concern yourself with that. But if you give of yourself according to your own strength for these 40 days, then you can gain many good fruits of spiritual growth in the end. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.